בעזרת השם, we are in page נון א', עמוד ב'. We finish the chapter שלושה שאכלו. Now we are in the eighth chapter, אלו דברים. The Mishnah is saying to us, like always, we know that the job of the Gemara is to explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the generation of the Tanaim, and the Gemara is from the generation of the Amoraim. All of the Mishnah have been written in Eretz Israel. The Gemara, we have two kinds of Gemarot. We have Talmud Bavli and we have Talmud Yerushalmi. We have the Talmud, the Gemara, that's been written in Bavel. This is what that we're learning. And we have Talmud Yerushalmi, that it's Gemara, just that's been written in Jerusalem. Most of the halachot nifseku by the Shita of Talmud Bavli. This is why we're learning Talmud Bavli. But there is a lot of places also that Chachamim are using the wisdom that the Talmud Yerushalmi contains and counting on it. Because that the Talmud Bavli is Talmud that been learned in the exile, in the Galut, this is why, because that we're still in Galut, we're learning the Psak Halacha by the Shita of the Talmud Bavli. Because we don't have the vessels, the ability to say the Psakim by the Shita of the Yerushalmi, of Jerusalem, of the Kedusha, of the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's higher. So the Mishnah is saying to us, this is why, and it's a Shita to know, and this is why there are parts that are written in Lashon HaKodesh. Usually it's the Mishnayot themselves, or the Braytot, that like we said a few days ago, that they're also in the same, from the same generation of the Mishnayot, the Braytot. They're written all in Lashon HaKodesh because they've been said in Eretz Israel. But the Gemarot are written in Aramit, Aramaic, and because that they've been said in Babel. So the Mishnah is saying, Eilu Devarim, those are the things Sheben Bet Shammai Uvein Bet Hillel, that were between Beit Shammai and between Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai were the main houses of Chachamim that were arguing between them. When the machloket, when the arguments were started, it was machloket Shammai veHillel. Shammai was the head of Beit Shammai, and Hillel was the head of Beit Hillel, house of Shammai. So their arguments were Leshem Shammaim. When they were arguing, it was all Leshem Shammaim. They were arguing just in the highest way of them all. They had a complete love between them. They were not arguing each other, just on looking for what Hashem wants. But when it became lower to the arguments between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai, so the contradiction wasn't so high. They were also had a little bit of honor that was involved in their arguments. They wanted to justify their Shita in a certain way. It's a very thin line. It's not like our arrogance problem. It's something a lot higher, a lot more in Kedusha, and not so bad. But still we cannot say that it was Leshem Shammai like Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai it's one thing, and Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai it's another thing. It's a lower level of arguments. So those are the contradictions that were between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Basuda in a meal, Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai are saying, Mevarech al hayom. First of all, the person should say bracha on the day. Ve'achar kach mevarech al hayayin, and after it, to say bracha on the wine. Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai are saying, first of all, you should say bracha on the day, and after it, you should say bracha on the wine. We're talking about the Kiddush Kiddush Hayom. Soon we're going to see that in the Gemara, their argument. They're arguing on Shabbos, actually, on how you're going to make the Kiddush in Shabbat. ואחר כך מברך על היין, and after it you sing ברכה on the wine. ובית הלל אומרים, and בית הלל are saying, מברך על היין, first of all you sing ברכה on the wine, ואחר כך מברך על היום, and after it you sing ברכה on the day. Exactly on that I'm thinking. If we're saying that it's Yom HaShishi, so first of all you're saying the day, and after it the wine, so you're going to say that halakha like Bet Shammai, but halakha is like Bet Hillel. This is why I'm thinking. Because halakha for sure is like Bet Hillel and not like Bet Shammai. So now I understand. Actually, the Birkat Hayom, I'm sorry, the Birkat Hayom is not Yom HaShishi Vayechul HaShamayim Va'aretz. After we're saying Borei Peri HaGefen, then we're saying Birkat Hayom. Now I realize that. This is exactly. So, again, let's see. In the bracha of Kabbalat Shabbat, of the Kiddush, of the evening of Shabbat, Shabbat night. So first of all, we're saying Yom HaShishi Vechulu HaShamayim Ve'aretz. It's not a bracha at all. It's just how that we're preparing ourselves. We're announcing that Hashem, He created heaven and earth, Vechulu. But in the bracha, and we're saying verses Yom HaShishi Vechulu HaShamayim Ve'aretz Vechol Tzva'am Vechulu, and then we're saying Asher Bara Elohim La'asot. And this is it, and now we're starting the brachot. So first bracha that we have is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGefen or HaGafen, and the second bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Sher Kidshanu Mitzvotav Veratza Banu, He wanted us and gave us, inherit to us with love and will the Shabbos that we're going to remember. So you see that the Kedushat Hayom is second, is after the bracha on the wine. So in the Mishnah we can see the opinion of Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai, first line on the left side. Bet Shammai omrim, mevarech al hayom, first of all the day. Ve'achar kach mevarech al hayayin, and then on the wine. It's not like that we're doing. Ubet Hillel omrim, and Bet Hillel are saying, mevarech al hayayin, first of all, gafen. Ve'achar kach mevarech al hayom, and just after it, saying the bracha on the day. Mekadesh ha-Shabbat. Okay? And also in holidays, it's also going to be the same. We're saying on Yom Tov. Israel Vazeman Kadesh. In Yom Tov, the same order, just what the words. Looking for the words of the bracha of Yom Tov. Mekadesh Yisrael v'azemanim, like we said. So Yisrael v'azemanim. So also it's on the time. So it's the kedusha of the day. Wonderful. This is first part of the Mishnah. Bet Shammai omrim. Second thing that they're arguing on it. Bet Shammai are saying omrim, notlin layadaim. First of all, washing your hands. Ve'achar kach mozgin et hakos, and after it, you pour the wine into the glass of wine. Ubet Hillel omrim, and Bet Hillel are saying, mozgin et hakos, putting wine, ve'achar kach notlim layadayim, and just after it, making netilat yadayim. I know that there is that custom, the Yekim, from Germany, they're doing, right? You know that? They're making Netilat Yadayim before of the Kiddush. It's not an hefsek for them. They're doing Netilat Yadayim to the bread. Doing Kiddush, sitting to do Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. First time I saw it was Kalman Nachman. He was doing that. What?
Amot.
What?
Amot.
I don't know, but they have that shita lehalacha lemaise. Most of the groups in Am Yisrael, most of Am Yisrael are not keeping that shita, but they have that tradition, the yakim. ואחר כך נוטים לידיים. בית שמאי אומרים, בית שמאי are saying, מקנח ידיו במפה. After you made נטילת ידיים, you have to wash your, you have to dry your hands in a towel. ומניחה על השולחן, and you're allowed to put it on the table. It's not contaminated. The towel is not contaminated. You're allowed to put it on your table. Ubet Hillel omrim, but Bet Hillel are saying, al hakeset, on a pillow, means on the side, don't put it on your table. This is what Bet Hillel are saying. Bet Shammai omrim, Bet Shammai are saying, mechabdin et habayit, you have to clean with a broom or something, the house or the table, means to fix the table for Shabbos, ואחר כך נוטלין לידיים. And after it, you're going to wash your hands. So from that, we're learning that actually we're not talking about the first netila, just on the last netila. Mayim achronim chova. Means now that Bet Shammai are saying that you have to clear the table, to remove the food before of last water, before of mayim achronim chova. ובית הלל אומרים, but בית הלל are saying, נוטלין לידיים ואחר כך מכבדין את הבית. You allow first of all to make מים אחרונים and only then to remove the food from the table. You're not obligated to fix the table before of מים אחרונים and before of ברכת המזון. By the shita of בית שמאי, they're saying, first of all you have to clear the table totally. Fixed, ready to the next סעודה. Only then you're allowed to do מים אחרונים and to say ברכת המזון. But it's not להלכה. להלכה, we're using the shita of Bet Hillel, always. Except of 8 things, but they're not here. Have to clean the table after the seudah, before of the next seudah.
You don't have a piece of bread, so
not before your katamah.
No, no problem. The only halakha that you have today about removing things from the table, bli neder, is knives in the regular days of the week. Only knives. And only in the regular days of the week, but not in Shabbos. In Shabbat, we're not afraid. There was a story that in the Gemara, that one of the Chachamim, during Birkat HaMazon, when he got to Bonei Yerushalayim, he fell to such a horrible sadness that he killed himself. That he killed himself on the table. Because of the sorrow of the destruction of the Chorban. This is why we have that halakha, that we have to remove the knives from the table before of mentioning Jerusalem in Birkat HaMazon. But not in Shabbos, because in Shabbat we're not afraid that people are going to fall to that sadness, because Shabbat is making people happy.
I thought that another reason is because the table is shochan, is veya, and the knife, which is weapon, it's not befitting for it to be on
this mizbeach.
Oh, this is not true.
Maybe not. Chas
Shalom,
not true. Wonderful.
It says something about not having swords on
the mizbeach. Yes.
Wonderful.
Another wonderful reason. Right? Can be that even the Shulchan Aruch is meaning that. I just remember that story also. Maybe this is what it's written in the Shulchan Aruch for the reason. Wonderful.
So then would it not be on Shabbos you need to also?
In Shabbat, so this is why I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I heard that once, but I don't remember learning that sugya to answer. So I don't really know what's the connection between this to that in Shabbat.
During the week, do they have to cover the knife?
To cover the knife, it's also okay to cover. But it's all, it's better to remove, it's make it. Okay. Bet Shammai omrim, Bet Shammai are saying, ner umazon besamim vehavdala. There is a certain order of how to make the brachot of the Havdala. So Bet Shammai are saying, first of all, the candle. candle is means to make the Abdallah. That if a person saw fire in Motzei Shabbat, he should say bracha on it, Borei Meorei HaEsh. So by that shita, in the moment, by the shita of Bet Shammai, on the moment that you saw a candle, even a lamp, you saw something, you should say bracha on it. First of all, ner. It's not la'alacha. It's the shita of Bet Shammai. Vemazon umazon means birkat amazon, means that if a person this is the fifth argument between them, they're saying that in a situation that a person doesn't have to, that argument is in a situation that the person doesn't have two cups of wine also for last bracha of Birkat Hamazon, like we said that there are people, usually most of the places that are doing in Birkat Hamazon last bracha on a cup with a glass of wine in Birkat Hamazon, in the benching, in the Zimun. So, and also we need another cup of wine, glass of wine for the for Havdalah. So if the person doesn't have two glasses of wine, just you have amount of wine that's going to be enough for him only for one cup, so then Bet Shammai are saying, first of all, candle, umazon, and then to say Birkat Hamazon, besamim vehavdala. Besamim, incense, vehavdala, to make the Havdalah. What? First of all, yes, but we're not talking about the kiddush on it. We're talking about Birkat Hamazon.
Right. In
no suda. It's not allowed to. It's not allowed to, or that this is how that it's a minhag?
I'm not a posek, but it was my understanding,
yes,
that you're not allowed to, because once Tzar Shudas is over,
yes,
Shabbos is over, and you can't drink until after Havdalah.
Oh, you're right.
So therefore, that was my understanding.
Wonderful.
No, but I'm not posking, I'm just
asking. No, we're learning.
So what does it mean here, that you had the wine?
In which situation you're saying at all? How can it be that they're arguing on it at all? You're saying after Birkat Hamazon. First of all, if Birkat Hamazon is before of sunset, before sunset, you're allowed to eat after Birkat Hamazon. The only time that you're not allowed to eat after Birkat Hamazon in Suda Shlishit, it's if you said Birkat Hamazon after sunset. Then you're not allowed to eat until you're going to do Havdalah. But if, for an example, you made your Suda Shlishit at 1 and you finished it at 2, and now you have 3 hours in those three until sunset, you're allowed to eat in those 3 hours. This is for sure halakha.
Oh, so that's what we're talking about here.
So maybe they're talking,
like we do nowadays where it's after mincha.
We know that we're doing the mincha very close to Motzei Shabbat, and then we're sitting and eating until the time, usually most of the people, until the time of Rabbeinu Tam, and even if not Rabbeinu Tam, after Shkia to pray in Tzet HaKochavim. This is the minimum. So also, we're finishing the Birkat Hamazon in Motzei Shabbat already. If it's by the regular Shita or if it's by the Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. So still it's going to be in the time that you're not allowed to eat after. This is why we're used to not to eat after Birkat Hamazon. But actually, Lemaise, if a person finished Suda Shlishit in the noon time, he's allowed to eat until sunset, no problem about it. So maybe they're talking about that situation.
I saw people, if they're benching after Shkia, I saw people leave the coast, use the coast for Havdalah. Use the same coast for benching, not drink from it, because it's after Shkia now, they leave it for Havdalah.
Wonderful.
Sounds
good. I don't, they cannot say Borei Peri HaGefen.
Kendrick,
and they cannot say a Geffen on it, so
that's good.
Bet Hillel Omrim and Bet Hillel are arguing and saying that the order of the brachot is Ner Ubsamim, candle and incense, Mazon veAvdala, Birkat HaMazon and then Avdala. All of the details we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara are going to discuss on every detail and detail of the Mishnayot and going to explain it. Bet Shammai Omrim Shebara Meor Haesh. Bet Shammai are saying that Borei Olam created the light that made out of fire, that comes from fire. But it talks in a Maor, it's one light. And the light, one individual, one light from the fire. But Bet Hillel Omrim Borei Meore Haesh, that he created lights from fire. Okay? Bet Shammai are saying to mention only one light, created the light that comes out from the fire. And Bet Hillel are saying the lights that comes out from the fire. So the Shita again, La'alacha Lemaise, it's like the Shita of Bet Hillel. En mevarchin, it's not allowed to bless. Lo al haner velo al absamim, not on a candle and not on incense shel akum, of worship, people that worship idols. Means that if it's a candle that's been used in a church, or someone bought it to light it in a church or something like that, he's Christian, you're not allowed to enjoy that candle. We're afraid that all of the candles that have been bought by people that worship idols been bought for Avodah Zarah. This is why actually the halacha is saying that it's not allowed to use a candle of a goy, of a non-Jew. But of course there is different, there is
a Muslim is no problem.
Another argument. The Baal Shem Tov is saying on the verse Vesartem Vavatem Elohim Acherim, that from the moment that the person is moving, only Sartem, a little bit, from the Kedusha, he is already Vavatem Elohim Acherim, worshipping idols. The explanation of a Baal Shem Tov. Aman, he was worshipping himself. He wasn't bowing to no one. Aman, trust him. He wasn't bowing to no one. And still he was worshipping idols, because he wanted people to worship him. He wanted people to bow to him. So it's also Oved Avodah Zarah. He was worshipping himself. It's an idol. Everyone that saw, it's a problem. So, but Lemaise, it's not allowed to bless those brachot on candles or incense that we suspect that been bought and used for worshipping idols. We're not allowed to enjoy them from them.
So that would be the, like the Indian deities, like the Hindus or the
exactly.
Buddhists or
All of those incense that you see, that elephant with the eight hands, legs, you're not allowed to smell them. Oh Hashem, you're a holy man, you don't need to go to our depths. We're coming from different places. You never saw that elephant. My brother has a tattoo of that elephant on his shoulder. You understand? Oh Hashem, we're all friends. Oh Hashem. Velo al haner, and not on candle, velo al habesamim, and not on incense shel metim, of dead people. Also not allowed, of dead people. After a few hours or a few days, they have bad smell, and so people are lighting incense for them, or that it's also a certain kind. So, or that it's also a certain kind of Avodah Zarah, or that it's mamash been dedicated for the dead, you're not allowed to enjoy from it, to Avdalah. Candles for the dead, Leilui Nishmat, or something like that, you're not allowed to use it for Havdalah.
Does that mean we can't?
If it's for the dead. The
we can't use the Yartzai candle?
Let's wait to the Gemara. We're not allowed to learn halacha from the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to explain to us, Mamash, what it means, which candle and which situation.
Yeah, but
So I don't understand the sorbet for the dead. You don't bury the dead right away?
Yes, but it can take also a few days in a certain situation.
Also they did
there are, they didn't have refrigerators like that we have today. Today, if the family or someone is holding back the kvura of the deceased, so they're holding him in a refrigerator. But in those days, they didn't have nothing. And also could be a reason, or that it was in the middle of a journey, or that there was a situation that they could not bear it, or I don't know what. So I had to leave him somehow, and you cannot let him.
So that was someone which maybe what people didn't smell the decomposition that you can't use for someone
for Havdalah.
Exactly. Thank you.
ולא על הנר ולא על הבשמים and not on candle and incense של עבודה זרה of worshipping idols ממש not on the people means that if there is a candle inside the church you're not allowed to go and to take it and also not from like we learned before from people that are suspected on using those candles or incense for עבודה זרה ואין מברכין על הנר and it's not allowed to bless on the candle עד שיאותו לאורו just only after they're going to enjoy going to be able to enjoy from his light I mean if there is a candle over there in the east you cannot say ברכה on it you see a lamp 2 kilometers from here you're not allowed to say בורא מאורות on it בורא מאורי האש on it you have to have it in the area that everyone can enjoy from that light מי שאכל ושכח, if a person ate and forgot, ולא ברך, and he haven't said ברכת המזון, בית שמי אומרים, בית שמי are saying, יחזור למקומו ויברך, that he should go back to his place, and say ברכת המזון, even if he went somewhere very far, woke up 30 minutes from the meal, have to go back and say ברכת המזון. ובית הלל אומרים, but בית הלל are saying, יברך במקום שנזכר, going to say ברכת המזון in the place that he suddenly remembered. It means you're on the bus now, back to Bnei Brak, say ברכת המזון on the bus. It's okay. Don't need to go down and to go back to Jerusalem to say ברכת המזון. You can understand a little bit why we're using the Shita of בית הלל and not the Shita of בית שמאי.
Is there a story that someone did that? He went back and he came rich.
Yonah shel Zahav. Doesn't written that he came rich. It's written that he found a golden dove.
A lot of people did it in the book.
What?
A lot of people did that all the time and got went broke.
Arba Asuk, Rabbi Shimon. Right? Wonderful. ועד מתי מברך, and which is the time that until that time he allowed to say ברכת המזון, means if you remember 5, 6, 7 hours after you ate that you haven't blessed, you're allowed to do ברכת המזון or not, עד כדי שיתעכל המזון שבמאב, until that the food gonna digest in his guts. So there is a certain definition for that. Rabbanan decided that it 72 minutes after finishing eating you have 72 minutes 1 hour and 12 minutes until you are not allowed to say Birkat Amazon anymore after 72 minutes you still before 72 minutes you still allowed to say Birkat Amazon yes yes you know Balaim Yain Achar Amazon wine came for them after the meal אם אין שם אלא אותו כוס, if there is no other cup except of that cup, בית שמי אומרים, so בית שמי are saying, מברך על היין, say ברכה on the wine, ואחר כך מברך על המזון. And after it you're going to say ברכה on the food. Means they're not obligating the person to say ברכה on the cup in benching. They're not obligating. Someone gave you a cup of wine during the meal, drink it. Don't keep it to the end of the Suda, Bet Shammai are saying. ובית הלל אומרים, but בית הלל are saying, מברך על המזון, say ברכת המזון, means don't drink it in the Suda, ואחר כך מברך על היין, and you should bench on the cup, with the cup. Ve'onin amen achar Yisrael amvarech. And you answer amen after Israel, after a Jew that is saying bracha. Ve'en onin amen achar kuti hamevarech. And you're not answering amen after a kuti. A kuti is a certain kind of a goy that is saying bracha. That we have a doubt on that goy if his giyur, he wanted to convert. But we have a doubt if really he converted or he haven't. We had a doubt in that generation. So, we're not answering amen on his bracha. Ad shishma kol habracha kula. Just only after you're going to finish all of the blessing until the end. Because there is a side to say that if you're just saying the last word, shakol niya bidvaro, or motzi lechem min haaretz, maybe before he was blessing his idol, and not Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. He wasn't mentioning the name of our God, just he was mentioning the name of his idol. So if you haven't heard all of his bracha, you're not allowed to say amen on that. One time, there was a woman that she is not straight. You can say that, people can understand what I'm talking about. She's gay. And she was in my house, and I know that she is lighting candles for Shabbos. And I know that she's breaking Shabbos also, but I know that she's lighting candles for Shabbos. So it was evening of Shabbos, and my wife exactly was lighting the candles, preparing the candles. So I told that woman that if she wants also to say to light candles, because I know that she's doing it, so she's not keeping Shabbos, but so what? So she said, thank you, I would love to do that. And we gave her candles and everything, and then she changed the bracha, and we couldn't say amen. She said, brucha, blessed, to a female, brucha, at, ashkina, very weird. Instead of saying, baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu melech haolam, she was talking to a female. So we couldn't answer amen on that bracha. It's not a bracha. You cannot say brucha at ashkina. It's too weird to say amen on that. We couldn't predict that. Predict it's what? We couldn't predict that happened. My mother that brought her said that she is religious. She's keeping shana. She's lighting candles before Shabbat. So all right, wonderful. You can light candles. Why not? But then she started to talk nonsense. So, yes. In San Francisco, it's happening a lot. She came from San Francisco. What can you do, Rav Avraham? Those are the depths of the exile. What can we do?
He did the bracha. He did the
light the candle. She made the mitzvah of lighting the candle. Yes.
But that's what they say from San Francisco.
What?
That's a big thing if you're from San Francisco.
It's a huge thing, yes, it's a huge thing.
But they do have women homosexual rabbis there.
Yes.
I know them personally.
Very good. Bring them to our class.
not talking about homosexuals, but in America, sometimes, not the Orthodox,
the normal people.
They say, the normal people. They say Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and then they add the Imahot. Elokei Sarah, Elokei Yisimagin, Abraham.
Not allowed to answer Amen on that bracha. No. It's a total kfira. Like that Sarah, what is it saying? Actually, it's saying that Rabotenu weren't respecting Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Velea enough. They were not respecting them. They were neglecting them. They were not writing them in fit to their honor. So now we're wiser than Rabbanan. We're wiser than Rabbanan. We're fixing the damage that Rabbanan caused. It's a kfira. It's a disgrace and a shame. And we're not allowed to mention that. We're not allowed to answer Amen and Bracha like that. Even if you're in the United States. Yes.
But yet we see when you bench your child, that's a girl, you say, sorry,
the language. No problem to say bracha like that, but not to add those words to Shmona Esrei, to the regular Nusach of Shmona Esrei. You're going to change the nusach of the first three brachot. It's not also like to add. It's allowed to add words in the brachot. If, for an example, a person have very hard time in Parnasa, and now he is in Shomea Tfila, or in Barech Aleinu, he allowed to add a few more words and to say, please, Bebakasha, Ribono Shel Olam, Ta'azor Li, Ana, Shlach Li Parnasa. You're allowed to say that, La'alacha Lemaise. First of all, not in the first three brachot, and also not because that you feel that something is lack of the brachot. Just because that your heart is so full that it's soon gonna explode and you have to talk to the Creator. So you're saying it's allowed, but not in the first three brachot and not in the last three brachot for sure, and not because that you feel that you're wiser than Rabbanan also for sure.
Or if someone's really, really sick during Rufu.
In Rafaenu, you're allowed to pray on him in Rafaenu. You start the bracha until you come to the middle of the bracha. In the refuah, let's say for an example, you're saying, "Refa'enu Hashem v'nirafeh, Oshienu v'nivashay akitei latenu ata, ve'ale refuah shlema lechol makotenu," and then you're stopping, and you can add, and "Bevakasha ribono shel olam, terape et achola, Sara bat Chava, shetiyeh bri'ah, shelo yeh la shum tzar, shetiyeh refuah shlema, shetitzeh mikol ha'isurim shela, ki." כל מלך רופא נאמן ברחמה נתה, ברוך אתה השם, רופא חולה עמו ישראל. No problem, allowed. It's not recommended to do that. Rather to finish 18 like you should, and then in the end, to do שעה התבודדות, and to talk to the Creator, and not to start, because you can be confused. For an example, a person that really suffers because of parnasa, or something, and now he's going to start saying ברכה, and his sorrow can drag him to places that he's going to forget where he was, in which bracha he was, where he had it, if he should go back, if he shouldn't, and he's going to start being confused. And of course that if he's used to do that it can be even a lot more problematic and dangerous. Because there are a lot of blessings that the middle part is the same. Ki. It's written ki. Ki. Because. So there are three or four brachot that's written ki. A lot of time a person can say ki and then he's saying where am I? If your eyes and your finger are not in the sidur, you're not sure if you're in ki kel melech achman v'ne'eman ata, or ki rofe cholam o Yisrael ki ata shomea tfilat kol pe, and all of those ki. Ki, which ki? Need to look for the ki. You lost your ki. What are you going to do now? Okay. Rashi on the Mishnah. Reuven, we're apologizing. Maybe we're going to do the Mirashi on the Mishnah tomorrow. Please pray on me that I'm going to be able to come in time. I really want to. Really. I'm not enjoying to be late. Dror Moshe Ben Manuela. What? Okay. Tomorrow we're going to do the Rashi on the Mishnah, and Bezat Hashem we're going to continue.